You are welcome to the podcast of Dominion Chapel International, the special place. We are a church that believes in pure worship, unadulterated word and family. Be enlightened as you listen to this message.
It's a privilege to bring God's word to you on the first Sunday. Many of you appreciate my father, he's hearing, he's celebrating for me. The way you're clapping. Hallelujah. Amen. I was reserving a prophetic word for the end of the service, but it's wanted me to drop it. So I want to read this prophetic word to you. Are you ready? Interesting, it was given by a deceiver. So, hallelujah. This year, may the Lord cause our ears be opened so that we can know when He's speaking and how to partake of what He says. This year, your ears be opened. Your ears are going to be seriously opened in the name of Jesus. You will hear your God. You will hear your God in the name of Jesus. So, I was reading my Bible this dawn, and there's a scripture, this story I've read over and over again, but I was reading it, and then one verse jumped to me. That's the best thing the scripture can give. The scripture jumped to me. So, it's like the scripture was highlighted, and that's the only scripture I could see when I read the chapter. Can you give us Genesis 27 and verse number 20? Genesis 27, verse number 20. I'd like you to receive this word with the whole of your heart. Okay? Can we read it together? One to go. But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God brought it to me." Now, this is from Jacob. The mother, Rebecca, hears the husband, Isaac, telling Esau, whom he loves, to go and hunt for meat and prepare for him a venison that will gladden his heart. And then when he's eaten and he's happy, he will bless him because his days were running out. She quickly tells the son, whom she also loved. So she loves Jacob. The husband loves Esau. So quickly tells Jacob. Jacob is into rearing cattle. And he says, "Get one of those domestic animals here now, quickly. Let me prepare." And they said, "This is what your father has said. So you can go and receive the blessing." So run it fast. When he gets there with the venison, he naturally says, "Oh, Papa, I brought the meal." The father said, this is too fast. Then he says that the Lord brought it to me. So Esau always goes to search for, there's an effort dimension for Esau. Esau has to go to the bush and seek for, hunt for. So it takes a longer time to get it. But in as much as Jacob is being deceptive in a certain way, but from the teaching received from Bishop in the course of last year, Bishop said he's not a deceiver. That already Esau had already sold his birthright, so he was just walking in line with what he had sold. Hallelujah, what he had bought. But what hits me is that he said, "Because the Lord brought it to me." So there are things that you go to fight for, and there are things God brings to you. And so the word hits me that this year, people will ask, "How did you get it so fast?" And I will say, "Because the Lord God brought it to me." That is the word. So how did you, because it should take you a longer time. It should take you 10 years to get it. It should take you 5 years to get it. It should take you 20 years to get it. But how come that in the space of just 6 months, 1 month, 1 week, 3 days, that this is with you? And you will say to them, "Because the Lord brought it to me." Say, the Lord my God. The Lord my God brought it to me. Say, the Lord my God brought it to me. You know, I'm not saying the Lord my God will bring it to me. I'm saying brought it. I'm speaking from a place that it has happened and you are testifying. The Lord said, the Lord my God brought it to me. Oh, say one more time. Say it again.
The Lord my God brought it to me.
Two more times.
The Lord my God brought it to me.
For the final time, shouted, the Lord my God brought it to me. Oh, they said that the American embassy, their appointments are way ahead. But the Lord your God brought it to you. Oh, Bashaka Baba. The Lord my God. Tell me about the Lord my God. Brought it to me. That is the word. The Lord my God. How did you get all these clients? How did you get that contract?
Oh my God.
You look like you're going to marry. So you're married by next winter. You've been waiting for a job for too long. How did you get a job in this company? Glory to God. Father, we thank you. In advance, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So put the scripture somewhere. Because this year of divine life, my light is shining. The Lord my God brought it to me. Say it again. I believe in confession. And that is why the Lord had to give us a word to confess at the camp. Because it's what you say that you become. So there's nothing to say, you don't become anything. The Lord my God brought it to me. Oh, Bakata Baradoshe. Please sit down briefly. I want to receive the word of God quickly. And we're going to pray a little. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. This is our year of divine life. Amen. And how do you respond? Divine Life 2024. Divine Life 2024. Divine Life 2024. In this month of January, the first month, we're preparing our hearts towards our fasting and prayer. Amen. Amen. Which is going to begin not this week, the other week. Hallelujah. But this week, beginning from Monday, we shall be praying twice on Zoom every day, except days that we have service. We'll have only one prayer time in the morning. So we'll be praying at 5:30 to 6:30, and then in the evening at 8 o'clock to 9. We're preparing our hearts for the fasting. Praise the name of Jesus. Is that okay? Hallelujah to Jesus. And so this month of January is our month of consecration. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, it's your month of consecration. Tell that person, it's your month of consecration. Maybe you should look behind and tell somebody that it's our month of consecration. Or you can tell me too, it's your month of consecration. And the bishop asked me to share a scripture with you. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 30. Can read it together. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me, but now forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, this is a word from a man of God to a man of God. The man of God who gives the word, his name is not mentioned in the scripture. When you go home, you can read the entire story, very beautiful story. But the man to whom the word is given is the high priest Eli. Now, Eli is of the descendant of Aaron. Now, in God's dealings with the people of Israel, he decided to pick Aaron and his four sons and then assign them to the role of a high priest. Now, one of the key work of the high priest, that he's the only one that can go into the holies of holies and present the blood for the remission of the sins of the people. He's the only one that can do that. So there's a high priest, and then he has other small priests that are assistant pastors. The assistant pastors cannot go into the holies of holies, but the high priest can go there. And so God picks Aaron as the high priest and anoints him and his four sons. So Eli is of the lineage of the last born of the four sons of Aaron. And Aaron is the brother of Moses, and they are of the tribe of Levi. Levi is the third son of Jacob, born by Leah's concubine. Leah, sorry. Amen. Is it okay? Good. Now, because God has assigned that family, so that's why he said here that I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. So that's the Aaron and then his four sons. So that's the house you come from. And I've said before now that they are the ones to walk before me forever. They are going to do this work. I had said that, but I've changed my mind. Why would God change his mind? Because there's something happening here that God is not happy about. He said that for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, I shall be lightly esteemed. So it means that God has been lightly esteemed in the dealings of Eli, maybe his household. And it is true. The prior verses mentions the two sons of Eli and how they were handling their priesthood. The Bible says that they were sleeping with the women that came with their offerings at the gate of tabernacle. So you are entering the church, special place, and then you see, not me, you see the pastor. It's not me, so the pastor, that pastor, by the gates, you know, lining them up. So before you bring your offering, you have to offer to him first. Yes, yeah, so before you bring your offering, if you're a woman, there and then now you just take your portion, and then you bring your offering like that. And then when the offerings are brought, the very good ones for the Lord, they take that one aside. Praise God. And that's where there's so many bad things, so many terrible things. Now, Eli had warned them that, tell me what you guys are doing. I'm hearing too many bad reports. And if you don't stop, it's going to be dangerous, because if you offend God, then who can defend you? And he said all of that to them. But I think God was not satisfied. It wasn't an issue of just advising them. What they were doing was that they were desecrating the holiness of God, and they were dishonoring God's authority and integrity. They were despising God before the people. And to God, such an attitude is not advice, it's circumcision. Do you understand? Whatever is unholy that finds itself in the holy place must be taken out. It's not counsel. It's not an issue of advice. Let's advise, you know, stop this thing. No. What you are doing is an issue of rebellion against divine authority. And it is not an issue of counsel. So Eli, you are counseling them instead of canceling them. So God is not happy. So God now brings a man of God, we don't even know his name, and he comes to tell him something very interesting. That I had sworn that your household will do this work, but now, no, it's taken out of your place. All because I have not been given my due honor. Now, the word honor, one of the meanings of the word honor is weight. It's almost the same as glory. It means heavy weight. It means that God has a weight, and you have decided to give God that weight. But you have determined your own weight to give to God. It is dishonor. You have lightly esteemed. So right from this scripture, you can actually define what God means by honor. So to honor means to highly esteem. Because the opposite is what? Lightly esteem. And that is dishonor. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to honoring God, what God is saying here is that you highly esteem me means that you highly esteem my will, my counsel, my word. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
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 Are you still here?
Yes, sir.
Oh, glory to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So God highly desires honor. Another word for honor is glory, to glorify. It means that you have not glorified me. You have not given me my due glory. I'm not giving my due worth. And because of that, you don't deserve, or you're not deserving of honor as well. Now, in our context, given the theme of this month, to honor means to consecrate. To honor means what? One of the counsels I will give to every one of us this year is that write. Learn to write. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
On Friday, I was at a camp meeting, another camp meeting, and we had an invited prophet who was speaking. And when he was speaking, I was writing. At the point of the impartation time, when he was in the prophetic realm, operating prophetically, I was writing. So after the meeting, Reverend Yokai asked me, say, I want to see what you're writing, guy. I wonder why you were writing in the prophetic meeting. I said, yes, because he speaks, so I have to write. When you become used to writing, you become God's scribe. I'm telling the truth. Even if whoever is preaching, he's preaching nonsense, right? I hear it. It's a readiness to receive from God beyond what is being shared. Especially if you are privileged to be able to write and read. The reason for going to the University of Babylon is for the kingdom. That's the benefit. So learn to write. Are you with me? So if your friend writes, tell the person, write. Learn to write. This morning, Bishop asked Mr. Asari, now where is your notebook? He said, oh, it is there. Is it a new one? He said, no, it's an old one. He said, no, you don't begin a new year with an old notebook. You get a new notebook and you write during service, write the encounters you get during service, circle them and go back to them. That's the advice from, as Lady Catherine said to Bishop, a 70-year-old man. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. I remember I told you some time ago that in a meeting I saw Bishop Oyedepo, Pastor Iya Adeboye, and Reverend W. Kumuyi. And these are men walking with God. I'm telling you, you can't joke with it. And they were writing. So the question was, who was speaking at the writing? Definitely not somebody who is very huge. I tell you, if you practice it, it will keep you humble. Are you with me? Yeah. So you see your pastors, they are writing. So you need to learn to write. Amen. Ask your neighbor, do you read and write? What the person say? Oh, say, but can you read and write? Then thou shalt write the vision and make it plain that they may run that read it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, in our discussion here now, honor is consecration. Consecration. It means that this is for God and God only. We learned that. It's for God and God only and no one else but for God. Now, I began to ask myself that, so how, what is meant to be consecrated to God? And Lord, lady, my heart, you consecrate your body. It's your body. Now, give us Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 1 and 2. Let's have it and let's read it together. I hope you're getting something. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I see you honor God.
Amen.
I see you honor God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, before we read further, give me the Amplified of the 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. When we are done reading, we'll now read the Amplified of this particular verse again. Are you with me? All right, give me the Amplified of that. Now it says, therefore the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and that of Aaron, your father, will walk in priestly service before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be insignificant and what? Contemptible. Now give us the Romans chapter 12 verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, in the Amplified, sir. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourself, set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. I mean, this is enough to end the service. This is enough to end the service. Let me read it again. So those of you that know, I serve God with my spirit. You know what? I give God my spirit. I serve God in my heart and my mind. And my mind is all to God. If Jesus had died on the cross with his spirit, he would not be saved. Because blood is not in the spirit, it's in the flesh. It is the dying of his flesh on the cross that gives us salvation. And therefore, it is the dying of your flesh that will give you salvation from your flesh for God to take over. Are you getting the whole idea? Jesus didn't come to kill his spirit. He came to kill his body. He said, for a body has thou prepared for me. So he came to kill his body. He had to shed blood. Blood is not in the spirit. It's in the flesh. Leviticus 17. For the life of the flesh is where? In the blood. Say with me, the life of the flesh is in the blood. By God's own mechanism, it's so interesting that in Genesis 2 verse 7, he breathes into man the breath of life. But the container that holds that life is the blood. Amazing. He breathes into a clay. And the breath creates a system that can keep the mortal body running. And one of them is the blood. And there's life in the blood. So when somebody gets cut in the vein or somewhere, and blood is departing from the person, they say life is going. It's a mystery. So Jesus Christ came to share his blood. And the blood was not in his spirit. It was in his body. So Paul the Apostle by Revelation is saying that the reasonable act of worship is not first your spirit. It's an issue of your body. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I submit my body to you. One more time. Say, Lord, I dedicate it to you. Say, Lord, I set it apart for you. Say it louder again. One more time. Say, Lord, I set my body apart for you. Say it louder. Let it be louder than your friend by you. Let it be filled with faith in your heart. Do you believe that you are saying a good thing? They say it louder again. Lord, I say. Tell him as a neighbor. Set your body apart for the Lord. That is your reasonable, intelligent act of worship. So that means that when we come in the presence of God and we lift up our hands and we are singing, most times, it's not the first thing. The body must be submitted. And you can understand it clearly in marriage. Yeah. Paul, the Apostle by Revelation, says that when you marry, as a wife, your body is not yours again. Oh, glory to God. And thou, O man, husband, your body too is not yours. This marriage thing, if you understand it carefully, some of you won't rush on. You take your time and pray well before you get into it. Your body is not needed. Your husband can come at any time and let you be. The gates must be open. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
When you marry, you don't own your body. In fact, it's so strange that anyone who wants to fast, that's the mission.
Yes, sir.
Yes. That's in the Bible. You didn't know. Then hold on. Before you present your name for the person you want to marry, relax first. Read the Bible properly. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, even to fast, you have to ask, today I want to fast 3 days for the fast. So this fast, it includes fasting from pleasure. And the man can say, no, I don't agree. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can say no, and God won't say anything. I'm telling you the truth. You see, there are times that you have done things you think that is what pleases God. But you were pleased, not God. Yeah. Are you with me? There are times you've done things that, there are days you thought that, okay, this dimension of oil I want to walk in, if I can get to 3 days dry fast, it will come. And so God now tells you, that's not the key. Take your wife out. No, he is the custodian of the oil. He knows when to give it and how to give it. Say, take your wife out. Go and spend some hours together. When you are done, tell me. And by the time you go and you come back, it's okay, now come and thank me for 5 minutes. You are done. Go. But to you, you think that, no, this is the formula. If we don't do water fast and dry fast, this anointing level will not come. God says, no. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. That's God for you. There are times that I tell you, there's a dimension of grace that God will say, it's not fasting, bring a seed. There are times he'll tell you, it's not prayer, just keep quiet and look at me for 30 minutes. Like, get me, it's different from the fellowship of having God. It's different. Are you with me? And so, when you marry, your body's not yours on both ways. It's not yours. And the reason God allowed us to have marriage is so that we can have an idea of what kind of relationship that Christ must have with his church. That's the reason of marriage. So marriage is actually a revelation center, not a pleasure center. Marriage is a school. It's a school of the Spirit. Marriage is a school of the Spirit. It's a school where the Holy Ghost teaches you how to relate with Jesus and how Jesus relates with his body. What that means is that anyone married who doesn't have this understanding will suffer because you are using the institution for a wrong purpose. Glory to Jesus. So when you become born again, your body is not yours. You are married to Christ. It belongs to him. So what is consecration? Consecration is taking the true posture of the new creation. Consecration is taking the true posture of the new creation. What is the posture of new creation? It's the fact that Jesus is not only my Savior, but the Lord of my life. I have no will. His will is my will. It's where he says, I should go, I go. In fact, the posture of a new creation is that this body no longer belongs to you. He said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That scripture is scary. Say with me, my body is the temple. Oh, are you afraid to say it? Say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What it means is that your body is the house of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the estate of the Holy Spirit. And what is your body? Your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your tongue, your members is the body. It belongs to him. What do you do when you find a stranger in your room? You locked your door when you're going out and you have all the three keys with you. You have two extra keys. They're all in your bag or in your pocket when you left the house. Every place was closed. You got to the house, you opened your door, and somebody is sitting on your couch, taking one of the Fanta from the fridge, has on the TV, crossed the leg, and is sipping. Will you go like, oh, nice to see you? Should have told me you're coming. Is there more coke there? No. Right from when you are entering the gates, something has changed about this gate. This is not how I left it. Then all your senses are alert. What is happening? Sometimes if you're a person who is easily scared about situations, you call a friend, Charlie, you're there around, I pick up. There's something I'm seeing I'm not comfortable with. And then you slot in the key, but before you could turn the key, you turn the handle, the door open. Ah, what is this? And there you enter. A stranger sits there. Ha! Ah, if you are strong like me, you will be the person. But if you are not strong, perhaps you call the police. But you will not be happy about that incident. or you were traveling and left your house for a dear friend. Say, oh, take care. Just take care of the place. I'll be back in the next 3 weeks. And when you came back, your plates are broken. Your drinking cups are broken. Your bedsheet is so dirty. The place is not cleaned up. It's not swept. No, nothing. The place is bizarre. The place is Genesis 1, verse 2. And it's not how you smile at it. No. Because it's your house. It's my house. I only told you to stay here for 2 days. And this is when you come to the house, you will not be happy. You'll be angry at it. Can every one of us begin to perceive and see the Spirit of God so upset and angry how he handled his house? Can you see the Spirit of God? Just descend him. Just descend him. Just descend. That the members that belongs to him has been dedicated to things that is not what he likes. That if you've been mortal, Jesus Christ made a comparison so beautiful. He said that which of you, if your child asks you for bread, you give stone. Or asks you for fish, you give a serpent or a scorpion. He said, if you being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more your heavenly Father who is in heaven? And if you ask of him, will not give the Holy Spirit according to Luke's account. Are you with me? So if we, being mortal beings, will not smile at someone who did not take care of our apartment, how much more the Spirit of God? You think you will smile that we are misusing his house? The preachers of grace makes us think, or preachers of extreme grace make us think that, you know, we are in the dispensation of grace. It's not what you do, it's what Jesus has done. And so let no one limit your liberty. You have been brought into freedom, so feel free. That was how a pastor, anointed man of God of a denomination that I know, arranged a sister. And this sister was shallow in the faith. And one particular night, when the man came, wanted to do something with her, she said, let me call this pastor. That one looks original. Let me ask him if it is godly. And then calls the man of God and says, sir, there's a man of God here who has been counseling me, but he has come. He left all the way from Accra to Takoradi to come to me so that he can do something. I want to know. Is it true that the Bible says that that grace has done it? The man of God said, hey, is there a window in front of you? He said, don't do it. So that guy you see now is a devil. The greatest gratitude you and I can give to Jesus for breaking his body is to break our body. That's the greatest. The greatest gratitude that we can give to Jesus for breaking his body on the cross is for us to break our bodies for him. What does that mean? It's to consecrate your bodies to him. Oh, what a glory awaits us when we give our bodies to the owner. What a joy awaits us when we give our bodies to the owner. What an honor we will receive when we highly esteem the owner of this body and say, do what only you can do. You, this is your body. Do what you want to do. People of God, I've read a few materials. I'm still reading. I have a lot to read. But it's like every story of revival or anyone God used for a revival, there's one thing that runs through their testimonies. They gave their bodies. Pastor, they gave their bodies. And I'm going to mention just a few things or the few ways by which we give our bodies. I will explain it. I'll be done. I will pray. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. God said to Eli, I will honor he who honors me. And he who dishonors me, oh, I'll dishonor. Now, because of lack of honor for God, Eli was no longer part of God's program. And as Spirit of God just led him, however, was singing, he said, to be part, he must depart. To be part of my program, you must depart. Give us Psalms 1, verse 1 to 3. To be part, you must depart. Those who don't learn to depart cannot be part of God's program. God cannot do anything with the common. He needs the uncommon. What does that mean? Except those that have set themselves apart, shall the Lord use as that mention wants to use them. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel, who walks not in the counsel of the godly. Blessed is the man, fortunate is the man, highly esteemed is the man, glorified is the man. A man that walks and expresses my glory is that one that has departed from the counsel of the ungodly and has not stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He has no fellowship with anyone that has not esteemed the word of God. Anyone that despises God's word and his work, he does not sit with them. But his standing and walking and sitting are in the delight of the law of God. So when he is standing, is on the word. When he is walking, is the word. When he sits, is the word. When you are standing, you are considering. His considerations is the word. When you are walking, can two walk together except they be agreed? He has disunited himself from a fellowship that has not enhanced honor for God. And when you are seated, it's a place of communion. That person has chosen not to commune with community of evils. But it's fulfilling 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. He says, delight is in the law of the Lord. Why? The law exposes him to the will of God, the counsel of God, the ways of God, the agenda of God, the heartbeat of God. How can you obey what you don't know? So he delights. It's a delight. Now, for you to come to that delight, it means you have gone through a season of discipline. You understand me? For you to come to a place where, give us the amplifier. Let's see of this verse. If you are receiving the word, give your neighbor a high five. If you are receiving a word, if the word is having some entrance somewhere in the recess of your heart, something is changing your mind, give another person a high five if you can. Just check in to see. Yeah. Amen. The verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight. Give it a passion. Give it passion. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! I love this. Said their pleasure and passion is remaining true to the word of Kayam. Their pleasure, their passion. I saw a video, a short video of somebody trying to describe the fact that supposing we treat the Bible like our phones. So in that video, when he woke up, reading his Bible. When he was cooking, he was reading the Bible. You know how you and I treat our phones, checking our social media handles and things. Even when you are at work, you're able to check. You're going to the loo, you are checking. Even driving, we check. It's that we can't do without this. So the man is trying to portray, supposing we were treating our Bibles like our phones, you know what's going to happen? We'll read the whole Bible 5 times a year. Because to check a tweet, you want to check the word tweet first. To check a Facebook, you want to check the book first. to check an Instagram, you want to check the weight of your gram in the West. Are you here with me, Lord? Before you go to TikTok, you want to see how the clock of the world is ticking. Every moment you are checking, and you know something? When God sees you delighting His word or His law, He speaks to you. The voice of God is attracted to those that love the word of God. Did you hear that? The voice of God is attracted to those that love the word of God. So His delight. Give us the New King James again. His delight. May the Lord cause you to have a delight. But see, to come to delight, there's a discipline. There's what? So at the initial stages, there might be a fight, because Paul told us already in Galatians that there's a fight between our spirit and then our flesh. And in chapter 7 of Romans, he was trying to describe to us how he said, "Oh, wretched me." How was he calling himself wretched? He said, "You see that what I don't want to do, I do. What I do want to do, I don't do." That there's a battle, there's a constant fight between your flesh and the will of the spirit. Are you with me? But the more you heed to the promptings of the spirit, very soon you realize that you easily go to the spirit and not to the flesh. But to come to that place, Paul says something in 1 Corinthians 9:27. He said that I bring my body under subjection. I'm the one that does that. I bring my body under subjection. Least I who preach gospel, I myself should not become disqualified. And so you have to take the body to the place of subjection to the Spirit of God. In those days, when people were taking their sacrifices in the form of goats and lambs and rams, especially goats, they want to go. They put the rope around and they pull you. This flesh must be pulled. If you don't pull this flesh, it will pull you down. You must be pulled. I'm telling you, God, there's no how you wake up morning and your flesh wants to pray. Look how many times you've woken up today. You were like, being the first Sunday in this year, I'm going to pray in the spirit for the violence before I go to church. The time you woke up, you woke up at some point in a time. You can literally just add five more minutes, and then I think I can now begin to pray. And then before you open, it was about 15 minutes more, or 1 hour, 30 minutes more. This flesh. Have you not realized that, look how we are sitting here hearing the word of God? And there are some of us here, there are some of us that if I were to stand here and preach for 4 or 5 hours, you would get up not less than 10 times where we and come back. But if you were to do an outing with your friends at the beach, now please get me right. I'm not saying it's wrong to have pleasure. Come on, I'm not saying that. But when you realize that things like this get you bored, it's a clear indication of your spiritual level. Are you with me? Like when we get well, like we get, want to pray. And I say, I want to spend 5 minutes about this thing. 5 now, 10 minutes a call, 15 a call, 20 a call, 30, and then an AM bomb. Me a call, 45, 1 hour. Hey. They say, you just stop and stand behind. You don't need a prophet to tell you that, dear brother, sister, your love for Christ has washed cold. Oh, pastor, do you always have it on top? No. But because of the price of a high calling, I have to pull the body. Do you get a point here? I'm here to find someone who says that, when I wake up, no, I'm praying. Like me, I wake up, in my sleep, my brain, I'm praying. So when I wake up, I'm just praying. That's how I do every day. You have found the spirit. This morning I woke up, I told my wife, wake me up at 1 o'clock. She woke me up at 1. I said, honey, it's 1. Wake up.
I said, okay.
And I looked if she was going to sleep.
Close my eyes again.
Thank God for the message of the Holy Ghost. After 1 hour, he woke me up. My son is okay, get up. And I got up. I realized that for me to stay awake, probably I have to go and bath. Go have some coffee. And then I started, Father, thank you, Father, thank you, Father, thank you. And then we are here. It's never easy. Are you with me? So in this month of consecration, I'm telling you that your body doesn't like what you want to do. Pull it along. Even Paul, I see Paul the apostle here. He is a man that had encounters with God. A great encounter. A man is stoned to death. They thought the man is dead. When they left, she himself and got up. They walked away. Great man of God. But he says, even me, I put my body under subjection. Are you getting the point? Yeah. Don't feel too big. You're a man here, you know the things about a woman that turns you on, and you are still bringing thoughts about it. I think I shouldn't go there. Let me just send the message. There are some brothers I can't stand. They can't stand there. You understand what they say? I say you understand. When they see a sister in the Lord, whom the Lord has properly well and down, know the Lord measured and things, and then there are those that are straight roots. Then there are those that, you understand? That, and you know, every time you see such, you say, oh Lord, mercy, 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 mercy. You're talking around. There are women that can't stand men who are very kind. So personally, there are people, some people in my line of ministry, people I don't talk too long with. When I ask them, like, how are you okay, dear? I look at the eyes and say, chat, that dear I talk in the trigger. How are you? God bless you. That's the end. The dear is a key. Mm-hmm. How are you, dear? Hey.
I'm fine.
Then you're waiting for the next day, pastor calling and say, hello, dear. I say, Pastor. You know, anytime I hear my pastor calling, I'm at home. I will help you. Next time, call you by your first name. Praise the name of Jesus. Somebody said, I put my body under subjection. Consecration means give your body to the Lord. It belongs to Him. That is all. Now, quickly, few ways that will help you consecrate your body. Number one, fastings. I didn't say fasting. Fastings. Tell them about fastings. Say fastings. What is fasting? Fasting is not just staying away from food and drinks, but it's both staying away and being with. Staying away and then being with God. The reason you are staying away is that you don't want to be distracted by anything. You want to lay your pleasures down and take His pleasure. Fasting is one of the disciplines in the Christian faith that accelerates contact with God. It accelerates it. It's a catalyst. But most times when the body has not been nourished in terms of food, its interference with spiritual activities is low. It's low. It helps you. In the course of our time of prayer, I will share a few things about fasting. Short, is even fasting, so to prepare our hearts towards the fast. Fasting is good. Tell you, fasting is good. Fasting is good. Fasting is good. Hallelujah. Tell him about fastings. Number two, prayer. Prayer. Put it down. We'll talk about that later. Prayer. 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 Ooh. And there are several types of prayer. But generally, prayer is that communication link that the new creation has with his Father, that allows the Father to open his heart to him and him to open his heart to the Father. In the place of prayer is an exchange of character and nature. In the place of prayer is an exchange of character and nature. A man cannot genuinely have a time of prayer with God and live as a man. You live more God-like than you want to be with God. If the enemy can succeed in making you lose interest in prayer, he has succeeded in cutting your life wire. Your ability to understand the depth of God's word is in your heightened spirit. And prayer is one of the models by which you heighten your spirit man. A man who has not prayed will be dull in receiving the revelation of God's word. But a man who has prayed has the supernatural intelligence to understand what God is saying per time. When you hear us praying in tongues, it's not to let you know how spiritual we are. The spirit man is gaining dominance. He that pray in long tongue edified himself. Okay, the third thing is the word. The third is the word. Somebody shout the word. There are several things I'm going to mention. The next thing is service in the house of God. Service in the house of God. Should I make a delightsome service in the house of God? Service in the house of God. Oh, people of God, when you avail yourself to use your body to serve in the house of God, in the local assembly, it's a design of God to give us a physical place where we can exert energy. When you exert energy to ensure that the local assembly, which is a representation of the spiritual assembly, when you exert energy over there, that's one way that you kill the flesh. That's one way you submit your bodies. Are you going to be in the church of your pastor? You are perhaps 25 years older than the man. Says, stand up, sit down, stand up, buy it, get out of here. All of that will kill your flesh. You're in a department where the leader, you are way experienced than a person, but leadership thought it fit to put that person as your leader. And you have to submit. Oh, you learn submission. You will learn humility. You will learn how to put the body under check. You cannot be like this and serve. It's not possible. You may have to cut your arms. You can't be like this and serve. No one like this serves. Go home. Serves. Somebody says service. Nobody ascended greatness without descending in service. Nobody. I'm here to find. No great man can tell you that there was no great service at the foundation of his rising. No great man. And any person that attains greatness and sees greatness and does not see the need to greatly serve in greatness will greatly fall. The sustaining mechanism for greatness is great service in the realm of greatness. Greatness is just simply a large territory for service. That's all. So we see in our secular environment, we have the MCE, right? Then you can rise up, you can become MP and rise up. You have to go through some, you just have to become president. Except you are somebody who wants to be president. Just come from the bank and just, you have to serve. In Japanese culture, when it comes to their companies, even if you have a PhD, they want you to start from the ground. So you learn the culture. So by the time you become a general manager, you're not arrogant. In case somebody at the low level says, I can't do it, you can do it, you know it already. And the way you're making decisions at the top, you understand because you have an experience of all the various levels. That's how it is. That's why here in our church, here on the body of Christ, different denominations like what they do. Some denominations, if you don't be successful as a selling, then you cannot be a pastor. You can never be a pastor. They won't allow you. You must have been a cell leader. You have grown your cell fellowship. You have birthed more cell fellowships. And then that's how you become a pastor. Else you might become a pastor and takes a position. And so you love the pulpits that behind the pulpits. You love to stand before people. I am telling the man of God. People of God, pastor work is not here. But I hear God. There's more work. This one is just the tip of the iceberg. There's something more behind. And when you have not served, you will see greatness as a right. When you have served, you will see greatness as a privilege. Are you with me? Tell neighbor, serve. In 2 minutes, I'll be done. Some of us feel too big to serve. Too big. Ish. If your honor will do to serve, then you'll be too to do for God to lift. If you feel too big to serve, then you are too heavy for God to lift. You feel too big. You feel that. You feel too big. This year, I'll give myself to more service. I don't know about you, but I'll give myself to more service. Is anybody like me here saying that? Yes. Sister with me, measure your first thing. Isaiah, I will give myself. Oh, I can't hear you. I'll give myself to great service. I'll give myself to great service. I'll give myself to great service. Now take us back to the call scripture again. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, verse 30. Time is fast, friend. We have to be closing now. As God mentioned, Jeremiah 18. I don't think I can just keep us here about the potter and the clay. The only reason that the potter can make something new from a broken pot is that the pot is broken. It's only broken, damaged pots that the master can remold. In this man, he made a lot of breakers. So when we come and we are serving, it's not because of any man. You are serving God by serving men. And men will not be happy with you. When I was praying this morning, the Spirit of God reprimanded me on a few things I said on the first night. One thing my dad has taught me over the years, and that's why I esteem him as the greatest leader I've ever known, is how to say sorry when he's gone wrong, which a lot of us don't know how to do. Even at your level, we can't say sorry. So I was telling him, I've written it down here. The Spirit of God was telling me some things. And I said, now he's giving me 17 things I must know as a pastor. He said, we'll continue tonight. So I'm going to write it. And he said to me, never you call my people a burden. He said to me that they are embedded when you want to carry them. I didn't call you to carry them. I called you to care for them. I carry them. And I said, Lord, but there's one annoying thing. I said, bring you to me in prayer. Let's talk about it. You can't carry them. You have to care for them. So in case the things that were uttered out of great passion but went beyond limit on the 31st night of the first. I'm sorry. And I pray for grace to care not carry you. We are too heavy.
Not carry.
But that's what he does. The place of service breaks us. The place of prayer breaks us. This year, seven. with your body yourself. If you're not in a service unit, I encourage you, join a service unit. You're serving God by a serving man to serve God. Men will not be pleased, but God is pleased. And that's why in anything you have to look beyond them and see God. When you see God, then use God to motivate you to keep serving. Are you with me? Let's rise to our feet and let's read the scripture together. Give us the Amplified. We'll read it again. Okay. Can we all read it very clearly and loudly? Can we all do it together? 1, 2, 3, 4, go. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be insignificant and contemptible. God lift you to us and say, Lord, if I've ever denied you of your ownership of this body, today I give up. I lay before you. You are my Lord. Take charge of your place. Lift your two hands. And I want to pray this prayer from the depth of your heart. It's going to change you. It's going to transform you. It's going to make you a different person altogether. Not by will, not my will, but your will. Lord, I highly honor you by giving your ownership of this body. I consecrate myself to you. I dedicate my heart to you. Come on. Let's pray this prayer. Pray the whole of your heart. The Spirit of God hears you, and he will make grace available. Come on, everybody.
God bless you for listening to this message. You can also enjoy our messages on Anchor, Spotify, Podcast Addict, and all other podcast platforms. Visit us at Dominion Chapel International, the special place near the XGI building, Shashi, Accra. Do remember to subscribe to this podcast to receive more life-impacting teachings by our seasoned ministers of the gospel every single week. You can also follow DCI, the special place, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Always remember that God loves you.